Have you ever had one of those moments where you start... Sorry, Jen, I don't know if you know, but your husband's speaking now. Thank you. I know you're having a conversation with your friend. You ever had one of those moments where you start a conversation and you know absolutely 100% you are in the right. And like a sentence later, you realise actually all along you had the wrong idea, the wrong impression. You were in the wrong. You go to the fridge in the morning, you open it up, there's no milk. Darling, how many times have I said, if you use the milk, buy a new bottle? I finished the milk. Right, okay. Officer, I was doing a speed limit. I was doing 39. Oh, it's a 30 zone. Moments like that. Today, we're going to be looking at a guy who had one of those moments, which... Oh! The Homer Simpson, oh! Moment. You were in the right, you had the right idea. Actually, no, all along, you were in the wrong. So... We are continuing Jesus' travels in Galilee, looking in the book of Luke. For the last 2 weeks, we've had two stories of Easter, Palm Sunday and the Easter Sunday story, looking also in the book of Luke. But we're going back a year or two in Jesus' life now. Jesus is going through, obligatory map, Galilee, right in the north of the country. He's travelling around there. So if you turn to page 978, which is Luke chapter 7, we're going to be looking at verses 36 to 50, and Paul is going to come read it to us.
Luke 7, verse 36. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town, who lived a sinful life, learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace."
Jesus is anointed by a woman elsewhere in the Gospels, and that story is often confused with this one. In the other story, which is when one of the disciples gets irritated about the amount of money that the perfume that's poured on Jesus is worth, that happens in Easter week in Bethany near Jerusalem. This story happens a good time before that, obviously in Galilee, a long time before the crucifixion. Now we're going to look at today's story in four parts. So we're going to look at the setup, then Jesus poses a riddle, which he then answers, and then we'll look at the amazing miracle that Jesus performs. And after that, we'll look at what his story tells us about Jesus, and then what we can take away from it. Now, we don't know exactly where Jesus is. Has this got a pointy bit on it? How do I do the pointy bit? Top one. No! I've seen the stories. So, Jesus, last time we heard of Jesus, he was there, Capernaum, travelled down to Nain, but we don't know exactly where he is. in Galilee at this point. And rather than speaking to a crowd of thousands, as he had been doing, this is a rather more intimate scene over dinner. So, Simon the Pharisee invites Jesus over for dinner. Now, Pharisees were members of a strict religious sect. They thought they kept all of God's Old Testament laws. But the reality was they kept some of them in a really, really religious way, but often failed to obey the really important ones. Now, Nicodemus was one. We saw the other Pharisees in the Bible. Nicodemus was one. So was Saul, became Paul. And being a Pharisee, it seems it wasn't actually a profession. Paul, we know, was a tent maker. So these people did seem to have day jobs. Whilst many Pharisees tried their best to trip Jesus up, to frustrate him, to prove that he was wrong, we know that several Pharisees, Nicodemus is one, and it appears here Simon too, who were interested in listening to what Jesus had to say. So with guests eating at the dinner table, the woman who we are told lived a sinful life enters. Now, it seems rather strange. We've got no idea how she got in there. But she's standing behind Jesus, begins to wet his feet with her tears, wiping them with her hair. She kissed them and poured perfume on them. Now, we're not told what made this woman's life sinful. People often infer through history that she's a prostitute, but there's nothing whatsoever about her life in the text, in the original Greek. We're just told that she's a sinful person. It could have been something else entirely. She could have been the town gossip. She could have been the town tea leaf. We don't know. That's thief for anyone who's not from the East End of London. We don't know. But in first century Palestine, what's the most famous photo we can think of Jesus eating? Last Supper. And obviously Last Supper was painted at least 30, maybe 50 years ago. Long, long, long time ago by this Italian fella. And in it, they're all portrayed sitting like at a table with us all looking at them. People in their times didn't eat like that. They ate reclining, laying at a table. The Romans did that as well. And so it's entirely possible, it may be even probable, that Jesus would not have seen the woman whilst he was eating, because she would have been behind him. Does that picture and my words make sense together? Thank you for the big nods. Simon, however, can see the woman. He sees what she's doing and says to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she's a sinner. The thing is, Jesus does know. And so Jesus has a lesson for Simon. It's a parable with a question for him to answer. So he asks this parable, or a parable question. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Now, debt in Bible times was, I suppose, you know, many of us have had debts. But debt in Bible time could lead to slavery. If you couldn't pay the money back, you could sell yourself into slavery, which I suppose is something we don't have to live with, praise God, today. Sell yourself off or sell off your children to pay off the debt. And a denarius that Jesus used was the average daily wage for a labourer. That is one there with Tiberius's face on it. Tiberius was the emperor of Rome when Jesus was doing his thing in Galilee. And a denarius was what a labourer earned in a day. So one owed, in this parable, one owed 50, so about 2 months' wages. The other owned 500, so coming up to 2 years' wages. I've had in my life debts of 2 months' wage. I've never had any debts of 2 years' wage. It's quite obviously a bit different. But this is the key point here. In this parable, neither had the money to pay back. In the parable, the question that Jesus asked, both debtors are alike, both hopelessly insolvent, both helplessly bankrupt. In this story, it should have led to, at best, the humiliation of self-imposed enslavement. And yet in this parable, the debts of both are absolved. Neither has to feel the shame, the pain, the insecurity of this unpayable debt. So Jesus asked Simon the question, which debtor will love the gracious creditor more? Simon replies, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You've judged correctly, Jesus said. He turned towards the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house, you did not give me any water for my feet, but she wept my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not pour oil on my head, but she's poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little. This is rare for a parable of Jesus, in that the meaning was pretty obvious at the time. Both debtors owed money they could not repay. And in this metaphor, Simon could be pictured as the one with a smaller debt, whereas the unnamed woman could be seen as the one with a greater debt. But both were unable to work their way out of their situation. Neither had the money to pay him back. The amounts they owed were almost irrelevant. They were both bankrupt. This should have been the dull moment for Simon, because Pharisees thought they were perfect under Old Testament law. Pharisees thought they were better than the sinners like this woman, in society's eyes and in God's. And in society's eyes, he was probably right. People really thought quite highly of Pharisees. They were well respected in the community. But what about in God's eyes? Paul, a former Pharisee himself, would one day write to the Romans that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Because no one's perfect. We've all failed to reach God's perfect mark. Both Simon and the woman had debts they couldn't repay. Both needed forgiving. It was just that only the woman recognised it. Simon was absolutely oblivious to the point. It's astonishing how often in the New Testament, in the Gospels, we see that the Pharisees and the religious elite don't have a clue who Jesus is, despite the fact that they know all the Old Testament, they know it like the backs of their hands. Whilst the sinners, the people who aren't respected in society, like this woman here, can see a divine saviour. They can see that Jesus is truly something special. How is that? Paul would also go on to write to the Corinthians that God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. And we often see this in the Gospels as people react to Jesus. As I said, like the religious elite, they really don't see anything there. And whereas it's people like this woman and like the disciples who realise that Jesus is something special. So, Jesus says to Simon, do you see this woman? Earlier on, Simon had said if this man were a prophet, he would know. Jesus takes that comment and returns it, because Jesus could really see her. Simon could see her face, and he knew her by reputation, but Jesus knew her heart. And so this is where we come to the fourth part here, the miracle. Because this story isn't just about what Jesus says, it's also about what he does. Jesus says to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests begin to say among themselves, who is this that even forgives sin? Then Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Isn't it amazing? The woman does not say a word in this story. Jesus heals and forgives based on actions which affirm what's going on in her heart and in her mind. In other tales in the Gospels, people say to Jesus, Jesus says to people, what do you want from me? There's the famous story in the Gospels of the blind beggar sort of shouting, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do? But here he doesn't. Jesus knows the woman's remorse and her repentance and her love from her actions. She doesn't ask for anything. And Jesus responds to her need without being asked. She must have had faith. She must have been repentant. Or else why was she there weeping over and worshipping Jesus? Amazingly, Jesus doesn't even acknowledge her, doesn't refer to her until address the woman until the final three verses. He only says two sentences to her. You are forgiven and your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So we see here two miracles. The first miracle is this. The woman's sins are forgiven. It's the unseen miracle. God forgives sin. There are some amazing visual miracles in the Bible. Growing up as a kid, one of my favourite was Elijah on Mount Carmel. Where they do all these sacrifices, and then the servants of Baal are doing all their stuff and truly whipping themselves into a frenzy, and they poured all loads of water on top of the sacrifice, and they'd go and whipping themselves. They said, Baal, come and set fire to this. This is a big competition. You all know the story? You know the story. And they're whipping themselves into a frenzy, and then nothing happens. And then Elijah turns up. He says, cut it up and pour water on it. Pour more water. He stands back and says, God, take the sacrifice, fire from heaven comes down. That is visually amazing, isn't it? One of my favourites. This miracle is so much more amazing than that. Even though to the people there, there wouldn't have been that much to see. But Elijah's fire from heaven at Mount Carmel did not end the need for more sacrifices. But this forgiven woman remained forgiven. Yes, it was less visually impressive, but Jesus' words to a broken woman had eternal ramifications. And it's the same miracle that Jesus, that God has been performing for us for the last 2,000 years. But it's also a second miracle. She departs in peace. Jesus says to the woman, "Go in peace." I can't think of anywhere in the Gospels where Jesus suggests something. Jesus is God. He commands. So when Jesus says, "Go in peace," that wouldn't have been a suggestion to a woman, and she might have gone out still teary and upset. When Jesus says to someone, "Go in peace," they leave in peace. This was a power with the divine word of Jesus. A broken woman went home with peace, in peace, as well as being forgiven and restored. So there would have been a visible miracle. She arrived broken. She went home restored with peace. She saw emotional and mental healing. Luke writes this story in a strange way. He misses out bits that I would want to know. I would want to know Jesus' reaction as this woman was weeping over his feet and wiping his feet with her hair. I want to know what happened to Simon and to the woman afterwards. Irritatingly, we don't know. But we do know this. The woman did what Simon should have done for Jesus as Jesus entered his house. She washed his feet and kissed him. Now, Simon should have done it differently, and I think there's a bit of an understatement there, but then Simon should have done it out of respect and social convention. But the woman does it out of worship, out of sorrow, seeking repentance, because she realised somehow that Jesus wasn't just a good man, but that she was an unworthy sinner seeking repentance from a Son of God who could forgive sin. So what does this tell us about Jesus? Well, thus far in Luke's Gospel, we've seen a progression of miracles by Jesus. We're supposed to be getting to know who this Jesus character is by his words and by his deeds. We should be asking, what kind of man is this? Jesus has done some amazing things thus far in Luke. He's healed lepers. He's healed a paralytic lad. He's healed a bloke who wasn't even close by, the centurion servant. He's raised a boy from the dead. And because we're getting to know the man, we should have faith that his words are true. We should have faith because that Jesus' words carry weight because Jesus said them. So the other guests ask, who is this bloke who even forgives sin? They had three options. That Jesus was a madman, that he was a loony, that he truly believed that he could forgive sin, but that he was deluded. That he was a blasphemer. That he was saying words that were offensive to them, by which, by their laws, Jesus should have been taken out and stoned. Well, their third option is this, that the man who says, "Your sins are forgiven, go in peace," actually has the weight, the power to say it, because he is God. Who is this? That's a question for us as much as it ever was for Simon's dinner guests. No other soul there could have given that woman peace. No one sitting or laying, reclining around that dinner table. No one in the town, no one in Galilee, no one in the Roman Empire, no one throughout history could have seen that woman at that time and given her peace. This Jesus can wash away the seemingly unwashable sins. Jesus can take a woman who is, or meet a woman who is absolutely brokenhearted and heal her. And yet Jesus rocked the religious understanding, the foundation of the formal religion of the Pharisee Simon. Because the formal religion of the Pharisees had no answer for sin. They had no answer for this woman. All they would do is look at her with disapproval and condemnation. But Jesus actually has the power to get rid of what was in that woman's life, the problem of sin, and get away with it, get rid of it with a sentence. And in that, he brought the deepest salvation and peace. Jesus turns things upside down. He turns them on their head. Seeing this from the outside, from the human perspective, Simon was in the right. He was the upright religious leader, and this woman was a social outcast acting in a bonkers way. But from Jesus' perspective, it's the woman who's acting correctly. She's worshipping him. She's seeking forgiveness. And it's Simon who was inappropriate. He didn't offer the social niceties that a guest would expect, let alone that he's hosting the Son of God. Jesus' teaching turns the world upside down. The disregarded, the neglected, the overlooked are lifted up, whilst the respected are put in their place, or at least have time to question themselves. Broken-hearted people leave healed, whilst the comfortable and the satisfied people who thought they were in the right, like Simon, are made to feel uncomfortable. Others at the table ask, who is this? It was blasphemy, or Jesus really is the Son of God. So what do we do with this? Well, for a start, we've got to ask ourselves the same question. Who is this Jesus? Because Jesus' teaching throughout this gospel calls for a response. If we're sitting there in the dinner scene, who are we? Are we the judging Pharisee? Or are we the woman who's just coming to Jesus absolutely broken, saying, I've failed again, and I need you? The obvious lesson that I was taught this as a child is don't be like Simon, don't judge. Because we're all in need. We're all in need of receiving exactly the same healing that this broken woman received from Jesus. As I said, nothing else could have healed this woman at that time throughout history than Jesus did. So we should learn from the woman. We can all be forgiven to repent daily. Because Jesus is the only one who can heal these things. I know there are people in the room. I know there are people. I've had lots of operations in the last 10 years. I've had 7, 8 operations. Each time I trust myself to the surgeon that he will repair my ankles and my shoulders and take lumps out of my head and shave my septum. That wasn't the fun one. And I trust him that he can do it. But there are things broken, emotional things on the inside, that there's not even the most skilled surgeon on the planet can deal with. And there's only one person I can go to with those things, and that's Jesus, the Son of God. Because Jesus is still in the business of healing wounds which no surgeon can heal. That is true, yes? So it's good news for all. It's good news for the emotionally broken. We can go to Jesus, and we will receive his healing. It may not be the healing that we want him to do, but it will be the healing that he wants to give us. Jesus is still in the business of healing. It's good news for all. It's good news for the emotionally broken. Jesus is the Son of God. The woman seemed to know what was right. Cheers.